This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Welcome back to Threshold. My name is Johnny Bluestar, and I'm with my good friend, Rod Tyler. Rod and I work together particularly on musical projects, although we met because Rod is into advertising and marketing, and I happen to be into freelance writing, and I did some copywriting and press releases with him. And so we've gotten together, and we've found ourselves often talking about the kind of things that actually we try to present to people on Threshold. How are you doing, Rod?
Hello, Johnny. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me in your show. I feel really, really excited about this. I mean, we already did one show, but
that particular show, which was about health, was very focused. And now we're going to diffuse our focus and talk about the state of the world. We're going to talk about the kind of broad outlook that Threshold is trying to encompass in different types of programs. You know, if you listen to the, I'm talking to the viewers out there. If you listen to the intro, you realize that we are actually saying something about reality. We are saying that you can actually participate in the reality of your own life by tuning in to another level of consciousness, a point of view that Rod and I somewhat share. So, Rod, could you shed a little light on this?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, Johnny. Well, I just got to tell you, oh, yeah, certainly, Johnny. You know, this is a topic that's very close to my heart because, you know, everything that you've done in your life has been part of a role that includes every hardship, every pain, every ache, and as well as every moment of happiness and bliss, and every choice that you've made in your life has led you to the place where you find yourself right now. And chances are that you're already playing your role, but sometimes we're unsure of what that role is. And that's when understanding that a spiritual awareness allows us to understand what that role might be, you know? And it allows us to have a different perspective on things and the world, and it allows us to understand ourselves much better.
I think the thing that happened to me in my life is that I was always interested in spiritual things, although I didn't really understand what that meant. I just wanted to find the truth. And it did lead me into a path involving meditation and prayer and various spiritual activities. But I found that there was something wrong. I had presupposed that the idea was that if I'm doing the right thing, God is just going to help me. And I was doing all kinds of interesting things that were related to spiritual material, like books and writing some songs and painting in a certain way, and even studying and writing about various well-known gurus and spiritual teachers back in New York in the early 70s. But everything seemed to go wrong. Every time I did a project, whether it was a book or it was a screenplay cooperative that I had at one time, it never would come to pass in the right way. And so I began to wonder if there wasn't something more to life than just being, quote, conscious or being spiritual, but if there was an aspect of life that had to do with manifestation, getting on the right track. And it took me years and years and years to just even get in that direction, Ron.
It is a long journey, I got to tell you. And there are many people out there and organizations and religions that help to supposedly facilitate that spiritual journey. You know, sometimes we get encouraged by someone else. Sometimes we try to find the answers within ourselves, which I believe that if we look inward, we're going to find a wonderful treasure inside of us. But it's not a road without its perils. You know, it is a long road. And for some of us, and it certainly has been a rewarding journey, but a complicated one. Because sometimes the way that we think, we tie our spiritual journey with outcomes. And when things are not working out well for us, sometimes we tend to equate that with not being able to really reach our potential spiritually, or not following the right path. It's a complicated issue, but at the same time, I feel that if we look inward, we're going to find the answer. And I think to some extent, some of us have already found something, not something probably completely definitive, but something very valuable and unique. Even though, you know, the definition of that spiritual enlightenment, you know, of that or that spiritual awakening, it's very hard to pin down, right?
Yes.
And I think that it's because, you know, spiritual enlightenment and spiritual awakening, those are terms that have been used in so many ways. And it means so many things for different people, right? It doesn't mean the same thing for everyone. And that's why it's so hard to define exactly what it means and what it is to each and every one of us. And I think it's similar in the way that the word love is used to describe a lot of things, like preference, right? And so sometimes I think the same complexity applies to defining our spiritual enlightenment and spiritual awakening path, because it's very hard to pin down. So what do you think, Johnny?
Well, I'm going to give a quote from that's supposedly an ancient quote that Gurdjieff uses. I'm paraphrasing it slightly. To show, just to add a little more pepper to the pie, so to speak. In order to be reborn, we have to die. But in order to die, we must first have to awaken. So the idea is, in order to be awake spiritually, we have to die in some way. But in order to die, we need to, in order to be reborn spiritually, we have to die, but in order to die, we must first awaken. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means something to me. What are we talking about death for? Paul says in the New Testament, I die every day. What is dying? Well, part of us is what they call, you know, in a very casual way, the ego. Ego actually in Latin means I. But the way we use it in the West, we talk about being egotistical. The way we mean it spiritually is that it's that part of yourself that's disengaged from true spiritual awareness. Now, true spiritual awareness does include your personality, but it is a more purified aspect of your personality than ego, which is separate from spiritual awareness. It's a very complicated issue, but in a certain sense, when we really start to experience spiritual awareness, we're not taking that egotistical aspect of ourselves with us so much. So, and in order to prepare ourselves, it's very helpful to start observing ourselves, start being awake to our lives, our senses, our breathing, the way our body feels, the sounds around us. In other words, in order to awaken, it's sometimes better to be actually more sensitive to our physical bodies and our physical senses. So I'm bringing another aspect to it into this, Rod, which is that in order for us to truly awaken to ourselves, to our spiritual selves, we have to prepare to let go of some level of personality that's separate.
Yes, I definitely agree with that, because spiritual enlightenment allows us to separate ourselves from that, the mind of the ego. So at the end, there's no trace of that ego mind, right? Or egoic mind, right?
Theoretically,
like, right? That would be.
I don't think there's anything completely easy about this, or that you can completely just say 1, 2, 3. This is the formula. Stephanie Slevin, who we recently presented in a special Threshold show called The Galaxy of Song, has graciously offered us some of her original songs for this program. This next song, called "Beside You," embodies some of the comfort involved in communing with the awesome spiritual level that we have within ourselves.
Everywhere the summer goes, everywhere the wind it blows, and to all who do not know, the Lord he stands beside you. 'Cause everywhere the flower rains, everywhere that feels the pains, everywhere that leaves its stains, the Lord he stands beside you. And everywhere a path to him, for all are one, we are his kin. And if you knock, he'll let you in, for the Lord he stands beside you. Yes, everywhere you do of roam, even if you're far from home, you will never be alone, for the Lord he stands beside you. Yes, everywhere the winter goes, everywhere the tree that grows, and to all who want to know, the Lord he stands beside you. Yes, the Lord he stands beside you.
Roots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who was a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of this stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy, we ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hands. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kindle.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070.
Welcome back to Threshold Radio. This is Johnny Bluestar. So I think that you can take a certain amount of egotistical awareness, if you like, of separateness, of selfishness, of stupidity into these other levels. But yet, it is somewhat distilled. And on the higher levels, it is entirely gone. And I know that you're probably speaking about those very high levels.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, those high levels, I mean, they set the bar so high, right, that very, very few people actually would reach that level. But we could also say, you know, exactly the opposite, right? Like for us, for normal people, we could say that everyone could attain some level of enlightenment, right? And,
yes.
And there is that through higher levels of consciousness, right? When we have awake consciousness, and through this view, we see everything and everyone in a different light, and we understand things and its usefulness in a very different way. And so everyone could attain that level of enlightenment to some extent, separate ourselves, albeit momentarily throughout the day, from the ego or minimize it. There's no need for completely eradicating the ego or leaving no trace, but we could certainly do something about it to minimize its influence on our daily life and increase our levels of consciousness, right?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that if for just a minute, a person who's never been into this before would just try and pay attention to their breathing instead of being completely absorbed by their thoughts, their imagination, their anger, their fear, whatever it is, and just sit there and breathe. That's the beginning of what you'd call concentration. And concentration is often said to be the portal to meditative states, to a higher state of awareness. Now, this is a long road, and no matter what you say about it, using these words like concentration and meditation and awakening and all that, the reality is a little bit different, or maybe a lot different, because the road is complex, depending on who you are, in different ways, and the meaning of things can actually change, because a lot of these words, even a word like awakening, has a lot of different meanings when it comes to describing consciousness. So I would say, though, to start out with trying to be aware a little bit of just your ordinary perceptions of yourself. We actually live in what Gurdjieff and Uspensky and a lot of other people in the New Testament refer to as sleep. What we call our waking state is really a state of sleep, because we are so unaware of our bodies, of our thoughts, of our feelings, from a standpoint of actually experiencing them, not being absorbed by them. Welcome back to Threshold. I'm with Rod Tyler, and we're discussing spirituality and how spirituality can actually enhance your life. But we haven't really even gotten to that point of explaining that. I was saying that in my quest for spirituality, you know, I practiced meditation and I sat with Tibetan Buddhist groups and Zen Buddhist groups and Sufis, and I went to Hasidic meetings, all kinds of things, Rosicrucians, everything that I could possibly experience. And I still did not seem to get improvement in my life. Projects that I had would fall apart, relationships would fall apart, and I would get sick. So what was the use of all this spirituality? Where was God? Why wasn't he on my side? That's what I would say to myself. And then it took many, many years before I started to get an answer to that. And the answer was that just because I'm pursuing consciousness, awareness, is not necessarily the same as actually entering into a more refined and higher state of consciousness, which I call the presence of God or the divine presence, which I believe that Jesus called the kingdom of God, and the Hebrews called the Shekinah or the presence of God, which is not quite the same as just consciousness. There isn't a total discontinuity between consciousness and the consciousness of God, but the consciousness of God is this very special thing.
This is a very deep concept, Johnny. You know, I Am is the name of God. God is none other than the self. And, you know, there's a saying, and probably comes from a holy book, if thou knowest thine own self, thou knowest God, right? And so the pure consciousness of God and the understanding that consciousness of God is rooted in a higher consciousness or is connected to a higher consciousness and is the ground of all phenomena, right? In the spiritual journey, right?
Yeah.
And well, there's one thing that has always bother me to some extent, how some definitions put the concept of God as a separate superior being that exists in some other realm, right? And that is overlooking us, you know, and judging us according to our need. But what you're saying, it's not that. I mean, the idea that God is in each and every one of us and that we can attain or connect to that presence, what you call the Shekinah, right? The mm-hmm. presence of God and experience the light of that consciousness that shines in every person.
We're going to take a break now and we'll be right back. I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Arend for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had two seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. I am very pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God! Are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com. For artist, illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too.
Welcome back to Threshold Radio. This is Johnny Bluestar. Well, in the Old Testament, when Moses meets the burning bush, and the burning bush, there's a voice, sometimes said to be the angel, an angel, sometimes the voice of God, speaking from the bush. Moses asks that presence, which has just given him his marching orders to save the Jews. He says, well, what shall I call you? Who shall I say sent you? And the voice says, Ani, Ani, I am that I am. Which is very funny. I mean, it's a peculiar thing. Who sent you, Moses? Well, I sent myself. Is that what it means? I am that I am? What does that mean? It's kind of a paradox of thinking that is embedded in both the Old and New Testament. And one of the things that can easily be misunderstood, and this is where the ego can be very pernicious and also lead to a form of psychosis, is that God is not the ordinary human ego. It's a component of the self, of human consciousness, that actually is like a drop in the ocean of the I-ness of God. So experiencing the soul is, as Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, said, it's kind of an expansive feeling. It's a feeling of being connected to something that's broader and more powerful than yourself. I like to say that when Adam and Eve supposedly fell and had to leave the garden, in a way they were leaving the presence of God. They were leaving a sense of themselves and moving into a world of pure ego, pure egotism, selfishness, and separation from God. So we're talking about very subtle things here, but yet we are also talking about very practical things, things that can be a big help.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And I believe that we do not have to perceive the world entirely through this mindset to start making changes. But if we perceive things from the perspective that everything that we know, it is a construct of this consciousness, then everything changes, right?
Yes, I think we have to go into a spiritual search sometimes, pretty much without too much information or experience, but just a desire to know things. And to know things, we may have to assume something. like that there is an intelligence behind the universe and that we can connect with it, even if we experience nothing like that.
You know, if we see the world through that lens, and we have this shift, everything we do is no longer determined by what we have or what we do in this material world, because we have created our own perception of the world. We have determined the things of value, but we have this great power, this great source. And then if we are able to connect to that source and see through the Shekinah, then we are completely free to see the world completely differently.
I agree. And, you know, but for me, it's been a long, long journey. And when I began to think of doing a program like this, I realized there are people listening who are completely not on this journey, do not want to be on this journey. Others who say, well, maybe there is a journey, but I'm not sure if there is, and I don't know if I want to waste my time on it. Other people say, well, I really would like to know the truth, but I don't, this sounds pretty hard. And other people say, I want to jump on board. My own feeling is that if we don't, as a collective human species, start jumping on board of our own spiritual awareness, that treasure that's inside of ourselves, we are headed for some real serious problems. And we're in the middle of some many, many serious problems. And I think that the reason that we're in these spiritual problems, these problems that are related to the absence of spiritual awareness, is because we're engrossed as a race, not individually, but as a race of human beings. We're very selfish. We're very selfish. We're very egotistical. We are not participating in that divine presence, which really unites all people, theoretically.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And we need a shift in consciousness in order to solve all of these problems. You know, because remember what Albert Einstein used to say, that no problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. We have all these problems, and it is that lower consciousness, if we can call it consciousness, you know, because I would call it being asleep, right?
Yes, it's a form of sleep. And you know, the problem is, if you're asleep, and someone said, in the way that we're using the term, and they say you're asleep, they'll say, no, I'm awake. I mean, what are you kidding? Are you kidding me? What's wrong? How could it? You'd have to, in order to embark on this journey, you have to feel like there's something missing. And you're willing to understand that maybe your sleeping state is not really being awake. And maybe there's something to awaken to that's really, really important. We're going to take a short break now and be right back. We're back. I'm glad to be speaking with Rod Tyler, a close friend of mine. We're talking about the role of spiritual awareness in one's life's progression. And one of the aspects of it is that we are distinguishing between ordinary consciousness and what we're talking about as the Shekinah, or the presence of God, the kingdom of God, and other ways of speaking about this particular kind of awareness. Now, one of my favorite sayings is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else will be granted unto you. Before I go into that, I want to talk about what you might call the gospel of prosperity. Ever hear that term, Rod?
Oh, definitely, I have. It's a very popular movement, I would say, and throughout the country and throughout the world, that has radically changed the understanding of what manifesting here on this earth, your dreams and desires, actually means.
Yes, I think that I think the most popular, widespread explosion of this idea, which has many precedents, would be The Secret, a film and actually a book that purports that if you imagine what you want and, you know, keep visualizing it and repeating what you want to yourself as an affirmation and thinking about it and actually trying to make it happen within yourself, it will happen. Now, I think that there is something to this idea and some of these practices, but I am also a critic of them. Because, not all of them, but because some of them really leave some critical things out. Because again, what I was trying to say in the first part of this program is that the whole point is to experience that part of yourself, that part of I that's connected to the divine awareness. And so when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, if that kingdom of God term means divine awareness and its righteousness, then all else will be granted unto you. Well, what does that mean? And its righteousness, one aspect, one quality of this experience of the Shekinah is the goodness of it. In Platonic dialogues, they talk about God as to agathos, the good. This is an altogether wonderful experience. And sort of like you think, allegorically, walking in the garden with God as Adam and Eve did in that story. If one's time has arrived to pursue the path, even if one does not recognize it completely, there can be a kind of furious reactivity to one's actions, and unexpected darkness can be around the corner if one isn't careful. Let's listen to Stephanie Slevin's What Goes Round.
Ask me for forgiveness, and I will see.
following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here! There's too many of them!" Again, we saw the Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped two hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
Welcome back to Threshold Radio. This is Johnny Blue Star. So what I'm saying is that there is a form of awareness inside of us. It's all good. And it will grant unto us those things that we desire. Now let's get into what that might mean. It does not mean anything that we in our lower consciousness state want. Because the capacity for human beings to want things, whether it's a limousine or a nice girl or it's a diamond ring, is infinite. We can want everything. Human beings are capable of wanting everything and trying to get it by doing almost anything to their so-called brothers and sisters, including murdering them, you know, kidnapping them, whatever. All kinds of terrible things are done in the name of desire. So what we're talking about is a desire or a wish that's coming from our deeper self, from our connected self. The word desire in Spanish and other languages, de is of, and sire means, you know, father. In other words, it's a wish that we have that's of the Father. And that's what will be granted unto us. So there's the hope that if we can reach out to this presence, we will have the wishes and desires that really will lead us to a manifestation that's really valuable and important for us.
Oh, definitely, Johnny. You know, and what's so important about this is that it is not only possible to attain all these dreams and aspirations through that connection with that higher consciousness, with the Shekinah, but it's also possible to change your desires. So your desires come and emanate from your true self. And I think it's important to make the distinction between what you're saying and what you said a few minutes ago about the secret, you know, because what the secret teaches is that manifestation is that you do not create reality by what you think, but by what you feel, right? And that through those feelings and visualizations, you attract the things that you want into your life, right?
Yes.
And the problem with that is that probably a lot of us, if we're not connected to the Shekinah, to that higher level, a lot of those desires come from our lower level, from our ego, right? So then we choose to believe in something, that we want something, and then we want to believe that we have the power to manifest it, and we say, oh, we have the power to manifest anything that my heart desires. But there's a problem with that. How do you know that it's not coming from your ego, right?
Right.
And then we say, oh, well, it must not be coming from my ego, because let's say I want joy and abundance and I want to be successful. How can that be coming from my ego? But I got to tell you, a lot of that, you know, it's a dangerous path, you know, and that's where it gets murky, because it's not just about trying to feel good and being in harmony with your desires, but it's about making sure that they emanate from your true self and not from your alienated self, from your ego.
Well, Rod, you know, I agree with that. Here's the problem. And maybe people here in this audience will disagree with me. But for many people who are, shall we say, supposed to be on a spiritual path, taking that route of trying to manifest themselves or their desires without it coming from the right place can result in some very bad karma, which is exactly what I feel happened to me, because I was not cut. I was very, very ambitious, even though I was very involved in spiritual practices. And during most of the time that I was involved in spiritual practices, I did not really experience what I call the Shekinah. I experienced all kinds of consciousness, even to the point where I could share consciousness with other people. I experienced, we could share consciousness together. There's all kinds of possibilities out there for consciousness, but that's not the same as the Shekinah. And manifesting things without God is sort of like what you might call a kind of magic. Not high magic, which is possibly a way for talking about true manifestation. Depends on who and why you're talking that way. But lower magic. It's where you're trying to create something. You have become God, and you're going to create it without sharing in that divine presence, which is, to me, at this point in my life, a really big no-no.
We see that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, including, of course, the Bill of Rights, which were in the Constitution eventually, these were reflections of a divine idea, of an idea of individual liberty that wasn't really being practiced in the world at that time. Even though there are limitations to the Constitution in terms of the actual application, over centuries, the ability of people to vote and to participate in equal justice expanded and expanded and expanded. And I think so you could say that the founders planted a seed of liberty that expanded and grew into a flowering tree of truth and freedom for American citizens. But then there came a point where all this drew rapidly to a halt. Because for some reason, in some way, certain people who had a lot of ability to create wealth and to spend wealth became in control of the instrumentality of government in this country and, in fact, all over the world. So in a certain sense, we can say that the original idea of the Founding Fathers came to fruition, but now at some point, the fruit of that tree is turning rotten. And so when I look at the idea of manifestation, I don't just look at the idea of, oh, I want a nice Cadillac, or I want a home in the Hamptons or in Beverly Hills. I am looking at the fulfillment of a vision, of an imagination that's larger than the entire universe. And that's the imagination of God and God's goodness, his righteousness, and the righteousness of his kingdom, which I do believe the founding father's ideal of democracy was aligned with. They were aligned with the concept of self-empowerment, of a nation of people who were created in God's image, which means that they were empowered themselves, reasonable enough and powerful enough as expressions of God's will to be able to create a great and wonderful democracy and a society. And this has been unfortunately lost. And we need to not only realign ourselves with the imagination of God in terms of our personal life, but also in terms of our country, and also in terms of our planet.
I totally agree with what you're saying. And, you know, if we go back to the Declaration of Independence, we can see what they were thinking. What was the thinking of the framers of the Constitution, you know? In the Declaration of Independence, we read, "Winning the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them." And this is so important. And there's another paragraph here. Let me just read this one too, because it's all connected to what you're saying. "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, on our sacred honor." And you know what? It reflects the thinking of the framers of the Constitution. And to some extent, that thinking, as you have pointed out, has been lost. I think we have lost our way.